You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Hello everyone, welcome along to the Punt Podcast, at William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast. And each and every week we look at the feature football matches, and we've got lots to look at. In the midweek edition of The Punt, with the UEFA Champions League, we've got the Europa League, one Premier League match, and finally the FA Cup replay between West Ham and Manchester United taking place on Wednesday evening as well. My name is Dave Kellner. I'm joined in the studio by Alex Dunn. Alex, first of all, good morning. Welcome to you.
I'm sick of the sight of you, DK. we've spent a lot of time together over the last 4 or 5 days, haven't we?
Some might say too much.
With European podcast, did The Punt last week. We were on air together on Saturday on Grand National Day on In Play Radio. Then we went out for a few drinks Saturday night. Thankfully, yesterday I managed to avoid you for the final day of the Masters. But then it's Monday and we're back together.
What about the Masters? Oh, that was sporting drama at its absolute height.
It was, and I'm not the biggest golf fan in the world. I enjoyed watching it last night, I have to say. Invested 3.5 hours of my time into it. Flicked over to Match of the Day 2 to see Jamie Vardy's goals flick back, and Jordan Spieth was in the water. So I managed to miss the main point. But it just goes to show that no matter how good you are, one tiny little error can have such huge ramifications on everything, really. But all credit to Danny Willett. He was fantastic, wasn't he?
He was brilliant, and it was great to see a Yorkshireman putting on that green jacket, and the first Englishman since Nick Faldo to win the Masters, so that was superb as well. I'm glad I'm sat at this side of the desk as well, just asking the questions on this edition of The Punt, because I was on last Monday's Punt podcast with, I think, Mark Walton presented, and my tipping was nothing short of diabolical.
Oh, really?
Oh, I was getting some grief on Twitter about some of the tips, obviously, because I know we're going to go through these games in a second, but Real Madrid being beaten 2-0 when I thought they were absolutely nailed on to win that game against Wolfsburg. And there were other bits and pieces I got wrong as well. So I'm glad I'm here asking the questions rather than having to answer them.
I've not got much to beat, is what you're saying.
That's exactly what I'm saying, Alex.
All right, no pressure on me then. I like it.
We'll go through the Champions League and the Europa League before looking at domestic competitions. And we'll start with Real Madrid versus Wolfsburg, which is Tuesday 7:45. Real Madrid to win the match is 2-9. The draw 5-1. Wolfsburg 12-1. To qualify, Wolfsburg are 8-11. Real Madrid even money. We do have enhanced odds here as well. Gareth Bale to score and Real Madrid to win in 90 minutes was 17-20. It's now even money. Cristiano Ronaldo to score 2 or more and Real Madrid to win in 90 minutes was 15-8. It's now 2-1. And Andre Schürrle to score and Wolfsburg to win in the 90 was 20s. It's now 33-1 for that eventuality. And as mentioned, Real Madrid beaten 2-0 by Wolfsburg last Wednesday. Big shock in my mind. I was very, very surprised that Madrid got beaten 2-0. And it's made for an exciting tie now, because it's even money, Madrid to qualify, and 8-11 Wolfsburg. Do you think that's correct? Do you think Real Madrid even money's the right price to qualify?
Very tempting. I don't know if it's the right price. I don't know. I think I'd still make them favourites to qualify here, you know. And that is really, it is almost disrespectful to Wolfsburg, because they are a good side. But I'm with you. In the first leg, I wouldn't have thought that Wolfsburg would have beaten Real, or certainly not in the manner that they did, with a clean sheet. I thought if Wolfsburg were going to win, it was because they were going to out-attack Real, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
There's plenty of sides in European competition who I could see doing a job on Real. Maybe sort of Porto or Benfica or someone who are built on having a fairly solid defensive foundation and can go forward and nick a goal. Wolfsburg aren't really like that. They're fairly attacking, and I know that they've sort of toned it down a little bit this season, but they are capable of scoring plenty of goals, but they're also capable of letting in a lot. So the fact that Real didn't score is a huge shock as far as I'm concerned, and could have huge ramifications on this second leg, because the lack of an away goal is key. Let's not forget here, if Wolfsburg manage to score,
they've got to get four.
Real have to get four, which, again, I'm not saying is unachievable. but it's a huge mountain to climb. And at the minute, it's a fairly big mountain anyway, isn't it, for Real? So, first things first, the 2-9 lands, definitely. Real do win this. I will say this. This is not Dave Kellner saying this. It's Alex saying this. And if you haven't had any kind of acca, that's actually, I think it's a good 2-9. They should be shorter, in my opinion, because they will win this. But again, it's if Wolfsburg score, all of a sudden, that task is massive. Real have only lost to Atleti and Barcelona at the Bernabeu so far this season. And as I said, Wolfsburg just have a tendency every now and again to forget how to defend. They cannot afford to do that. They're going to have to be at their very, very best here. So Real to qualify at even money is going to be the outright selection, without question. That's a really massive even. I'm so keen on that. It's beyond words, because I just think they'll go through.
I would be, but I think maybe I was misled by their by Wolfsburg's position in the Bundesliga, and that was definitely in the forefront of my mind when I was analysing the first leg, because Real Madrid at 4-6, given they'd just come into the game off the back of beating Barcelona in El Clasico, I was thinking this is tailor made for Real Madrid, and you mentioned the way Wolfsburg operate. You'd think Real Madrid were bound to get away goals, but the fact they haven't got one is a major concern for them.
And Wolfsburg were a side that I was really keen on at the start of the season to maybe push Bayern close, certainly be sort of where Dortmund are now. They have had a disappointing season, particularly in 2016. Now, we're on about can they score. If you back Real to qualify, you're almost taking that out of the equation. If Wolfsburg do score, it obviously isn't as good for your Real to qualify bet, but it almost doesn't matter in that Real can still qualify. The bet is not dead if Wolfsburg score. Real and both teams to score is 5-4. Again, that one doesn't really incorporate Real qualifying, so it could be 2-1. Wolfsburg will go through, but your bet lands. Now, two key stats here. Real have reached the semi-finals of the Champions League in each of the last 5 seasons. So obviously we know the pedigree's there, European-wise anyway. But here's a key one. Real are the only team yet to concede a goal at home in the Champions League this season. So stats would suggest that Real will win this to nil. I'm going to sit on the fence, and well, I'm not going to sit on the fence. I'm going to bottle it a little bit and just say Real to qualify even money is the bet.
Okay.
If push came to shove, I think Wolfsburg could score. They could. But that 5-4 isn't quite big enough, as far as I'm concerned. So Real to qualify the bet, even money. And if you are looking for something that doesn't incorporate Real qualifying, so maybe winning this game but not going through, perhaps, although it would be difficult for this to land and Real not to qualify, is Real to win both halves, 17-20. I think they'll come out the traps. I think they'll score at least once in the first half. And then if they need to push on in the second, I think they will. So plenty of appealing bets, all around a similar price. It's which one you take is up to you. But for me, the best one is Real to qualify it even.
Another stat that I like, and this is a pro Wolfsburg stat more than a Real Madrid stat, and this comes from UEFA.com. It's a good one, this one. Madrid have overturned a first leg away defeat 22 times. They've failed on a further 16 occasions, but they've lost the last 5. When they've lost away from home in a first leg, they've not been able to overturn it at the Bernabeu. Most recently, against Juventus in last season's semi-finals. So the last 5 where they've been beaten away from home, they haven't been able to turn that around at home in European competition, which is interesting.
It is. Another stat is Ronaldo scored 37 in 35 Champions League games at the Bernabeu. Now, we mentioned the enhanced odds. Him to score 2 or more, Real to win, is 2-1. It's still pretty short for a player to score 2 goals in a game. I know he's Ronaldo, but he's 4-9 any time. I think that's probably fair, the 4-9. But 2 or more, all of a sudden, you are pushing it a little bit.
And you look at some of those goal scorer prices. Cristiano Ronaldo, just to score any time, is 4-9. That's backed up by the stats you just mentioned. Karim Benzema is 4-6. Gareth Bale, 17-20. And you'd expect those three to be the front three on Tuesday night as well.
Yeah, none of those appeal massively. And it's strange because I do think Real will score 2, 3, maybe 4 in this game. But again, when you're backing a player at odds on to score any time, and it's not just slightly odds on, they're all fairly heavily odds on, it's a bit tricky for me. I'm less keen. So Real to qualify, that is the selection.
Manchester City next versus Paris Saint-Germain. This is also Tuesday, 7:45. Man City 17-10. The draw is 23-10 with PSG 8-5. To qualify, Manchester City 8-15. PSG are 11-8. Enhanced odds here. Sergio Aguero to score and Man City to win 7-2. It was 5-2. And Zlatan Ibrahimovic to score and PSG to win 7-2 was 12-5. And those are obviously only in 90 minutes. 2-2 after the first leg. And if it hadn't have been for the Fernando Howler, who knows what might have happened, because Manchester City played well in the game. They've been revitalised since the reintroduction of Kevin De Bruyne into the side. And they've got those two away goals, which are going to be vital in this match.
Yeah, I can't stress just how important Kevin De Bruyne is to this City side. He brings a real sort of energy to them that a lot of the other players don't. And he didn't play against West Brom at the weekend, or he didn't start against them. So he'll definitely be playing this one. Now, I just think European nights at the Etihad, there is no atmosphere. It's just not. I remember if I go back to when I was a child, not that long ago, incidentally. I know I sound old, but and I look even older. Anfield, Old Trafford, even Stamford Bridge to a point. There's an atmosphere there. It's a European night. You know what's expected. And I can think of some memorable European nights at all of those venues. Could you honestly say, oh, what a game that was at the Etihad on that Tuesday evening?
Yeah.
No. It's normally raining, which isn't their fault. But, but that, you know what I mean? It never just seems to really get really heated, does
yes,
it?
Yes, I get what you're saying.
So the home advantage, I think, here is slightly negated by the fact that the atmosphere will be tame in comparison to what Paris are capable of atmosphere-wise. Now, I know that's a strange point to make at the start of this game, but I think you can almost negate the fact that this is a home game for City. Now, the fact remains that they did score twice away from home, and that's huge. This is basically win or bust, isn't it, for PSG? Yes, they could draw 2-2 again and take it to extra time, but all things being well, you'd rather take the 8-5 on PSG than the 11-8 on PSG to qualify. I think that's a sufficient enough jump to justify that.
Yeah.
Now, of course, Ibrahimovic missed a penalty, didn't he, in that first game. Joe Hart, incidentally, has now saved his last three penalties in the Champions League, which is not useful for a bet, but hey, it's interesting. I'm really tempted by PSG here, I've got to say. I've got to say, I just think, I don't mind Man City, but I just think PSG will go through here. They've scored, PSG, at least two goals in each of their last five Champions League games. They're going to have to do that again here. Well, they're not going to have to. They could score. It could be 1-0. But the likelihood is that they're going to come out and score a few here. I just think they're going to get the job done. And I'm really like the enhanced odds as well. Ibrahimovic to score, PSG to win in 90 minutes. Was 12-5, is now 7-2.
Yeah.
Massively appealing. Similarly, I will just say, if you are in the City camp, Aguero to score and City to win in 90 minutes, that's 7-2 from 5-2. That is appealing if you're backing City. I'm not personally, but I think if you are, that would work for me. Aguero, incidentally, has got 16 in his last 19 Champions League starts. I'm really keen on PSG here.
A couple of stats that are against you here, Alex, just to play devil's advocate for a second. City have won all six ties in UEFA competition in which they've drawn the away leg first, including two where the scoreline was 2-2, incidentally, against FC Copenhagen back in 2008-2009 in the UEFA Cup, and AC Milan way back in 78-79 in the UEFA Cup third round. And let's not forget that Paris are in the quarterfinals for the fourth year in a row, and they lost to Barcelona in 2013 and 2015, and Chelsea in 2014. So there is that mental block, perhaps, with this Paris Saint-Germain side, where they get to the quarterfinals of a major competition and they don't qualify for the semi-finals. Admittedly, in recent history, that's happened with City as well. So both sides with a little bit to prove in terms of the team's collective mentality here.
But Paris do score. That's the key here. It's not. I think that they will score. And once they do, I think City will get nervy. And if it's the first goal in the game, I think PSG will certainly go on to win it. I'm so keen on them here, Dave. That said,
you just think they're the better of the two sides in terms of quality and in terms of personnel?
I think they are. And I think Man City did really well last week. And it certainly isn't. It's not going to be easy for PSG. But I just think that they've got enough. And with Ibrahimovic up front, you've got a man who is... I know he missed a penalty, but he's so good. He is so good. And I just don't think City will know what to do with him. He's 21-20 any time. That's a price I can get on board with. That would probably be my best bet in this game, if I'm being honest.
Okay.
Because even if PSG don't qualify, then that can land. That'd probably be the best bet. But I really like the enhanced odds. I really like PSG to win the match at 8-5. I'd take that over PSG to qualify at 11-8. But yeah, I'm sorry, Man City fans. I just think they're going to trump you here.
Benfica versus Bayern Munich on Wednesday night. Next up, it's Benfica 9-2 to win the game. The draw 12-5. Bayern Munich 7-10. Enhanced odds: Kostas Mitroglou to score and Benfica to win in 90. Was 7-1. Now 9-1. Robert Lewandowski, who I was cursing last week, him to score and Bayern Munich to win, is in the betting at 2-1. To qualify, Benfica 5-1 to qualify. Bayern Munich in the betting at 1-9. Bayern Munich winning the first leg 1-0 with that really early goal they scored after 2 minutes. Arturo Vidal, who had another couple of chances. I watched that game because it was the Tuesday night game last week, and obviously I was on William Hill's in-play radio covering the action. And Bayern were so disappointing in that match. They really were. Benfica had a couple of good opportunities to grab a draw in that game. Subsequently, Benfica have won at Académica in the top flight Portuguese league, and Bayern Munich beat Stuttgart 3-1 away from home. It was disappointing from Bayern Munich last week. Scored after 2 minutes, you're thinking they're going to go on and rout Benfica, and it never materialised.
No, and they are a side that they're grinders, aren't they? More than flamboyant and wonderful. You think of, say, Barcelona, and you think, yeah, they're top of the league, but they routinely will go and beat size 3 or 4 nil, and at home, sometimes 4, 5, 6 nil. Bayern don't tend to do that as much anymore. They tend to win to nil a lot, but it's fairly limited in terms of how many goals that they score. And away from home, they are a different creature, if you like. Put it this way, Benfica will be happier with the first leg result than Bayern will. That's not to say Benfica are going to go through here, but I know what you mean.
Not grabbing that away goal was that makes this task doubly difficult, because you know that if Bayern Munich score, have Benfica got the quality to score three times? I'm not sure they have.
And that's probably where their challenge will fall down here, Benfica, because Bayern are very, very likely to score here. The 7-10 on them to win this match is okay. It's all right. It's not fantastic, but I'd be a bit wary of taking that, given that.
I find it difficult to bat that.
They don't have to win.
Yeah, and I find it difficult to bat that, having watched them in that first leg. Okay. I know that every team can have an off night, but Benfica were as good as Bayern Munich in that first leg, definitely.
Okay. So the 7-10 is okay, nothing more, but it's a bit short, I think, for what you're actually backing. I do think Bayern will win, and my selection, which I'll get to in a second, is sort of an enhancement of that. So I'm certainly not saying that I don't think Bayern will win. I do think that they will win it on the night as well as qualifying. If you're looking at the enhanced odds, firstly for Lewandowski to score, Bayern to win in 90 minutes. Was 6-4, has been pushed out to 2-1. Lewandowski, in his last 7 Champions League games, he's only scored in one of them. He's a bit of a home bird when it comes to scoring in the Champions League. So I'd avoid that, to be honest. I'm not saying it can't land, but it's pretty short. And similarly, if you're looking at Benfica, you'll see Kostas Mitroglou there and think, well, hang on, remember him at Fulham? He played 3 times and cost a lot of money. He's better than he showed in the Premier League. But again, I just don't think that Benfica score here. So that's where I'm going to go with it. It's Bayern on under 2.5, which is the selection.
Okay.
It's 13-5. It's much bigger than the 7-10 on offer for Bayern to win. And I do think it'll be a 1-0 or a 2-0. I think you can play unders on the goals as well if you want to take the result out of it. But I think Bayern will win it. And 13-5 is a big, big price for something that, let's not forget, landed in the first leg. Didn't look likely to be 1-0 when they took the lead so early.
Yeah.
But I think Benfica cannot come out and just attack. Their strategy here will be, right, we cannot concede an away goal. And I think they will at some point, but I think they won't be pushing on too much and causing Bayern too many problems in the meantime. So buying an under 2.5 at 13-5 is big enough to take a chance on here. But yeah, Bayern, I think almost boringly, will get into the semis, just doing what they're very good at, which is keeping clean sheets and keeping it fairly tight.
Frank Ribery was a big factor early on in that match. He had a lot of space down the left-hand side. He played at the weekend against Stuttgart, so I'd imagine he'll be involved. One man that didn't play at the weekend was Kingsley Coman, and they look more dynamic with him in the side, so it'll be interesting to see if he makes it on Wednesday night.
They've got a good squad, Bayern. They can sort of chop and change two or three players, and I wouldn't say it's not noticeable, but you know what I mean? They've got some good quality players. But similarly, I mentioned that we were on in play together on Saturday, and in the last sort of 20 minutes, Stuttgart made a real good fist of attacking Bayern, and that's the thing. Bayern can just get a little bit sloppy sometimes. You can almost understand that. They're so dominant in Germany, it must be almost hard sometimes to motivate themselves for some matches. Now, this is a Champions League quarterfinal. I'm not saying that they'll be lacking in that. But I just think they'll come out, they'll be ruthless, defensively minded, typically organised. They will win 1 or 2-0.
Also on Wednesday night, it's the all-Spanish affair. Atletico Madrid taking on Barcelona. Atletico Madrid 23-10 to win the game. The draw 11-5 and Barca are in the betting at 5-4. Enhanced odds, Antoine Griezmann to score and Atletico Madrid to win in 90 minutes was 4-1. It's now 6-1. Luis Suarez to score and Barca to win in 90 is 7-2. It was 12-5. And I'm sure this one will be popular. Lionel Messi to score and Barcelona to win in 90 minutes was 23-10 and it's now 3-1. Luis Suarez was the hero in the first leg, Alex, as Barcelona came from one goal down to beat Atletico Madrid 2-1. And I think that's the fourth time in five meetings that's happened where Atletico have taken the lead but not been able to hang on to it against Barca. And this game turned with the sending off of Fernando Torres, who had scored the opening goal, and his decision to plough into the back of I think it was Rakitic. Might have been Sergio Busquets, but anyway, the decision for him to basically just blatantly knee the Barcelona player in the calf was idiotic, and that's putting it politely. And that's where the game turned, really.
Yeah, Atleti didn't have another shot on target after that red card. I'm going to start by talking about La Liga here. I know this is a Champions League game, but all of a sudden the title race is wide open. Barca are only 3 points clear of Atleti now, with Real another point behind them.
Yeah.
And it's gone from Barca cruising in the league and only having to worry about the Champions League to all of a sudden, they drew at Villarreal, having been 2-0 up, and threw it away, 2-2. They lost in El Clasico, where they were pretty disappointing. And then at the weekend, they lost at Real Sociedad, where they don't have a fantastic record in recent years.
I think they would have lost that first leg. I truly believe if Torres had stayed on, they would have lost that first leg, because Atleti kind of... Diego Simeone kind of got it wrong. Following that dismissal, instead of going ultra-defensive like I anticipated them doing with 10 men, they kind of chased that second goal for a while and they got hit twice on the counter.
I love Atleti, though. And I know that you expect them to be defensive, and they are so defensively solid. And I know people will watch this wanting to see Barca attack and create, but I just love watching how good Atleti are, particularly at home. Now, head-to-heads are key in games like this. Obviously, these two sides play each other quite a bit. 7 out of 7 for Barca.
Yeah.
And
which surprised me when I was previewing the first leg, because you kind of... Because we don't often focus on Spanish football or don't focus on Spanish football as intently as we do the Premier League, you kind of... think about that meeting back in 2013-2014 in the Champions League where they drew the first leg, Atleti won apiece at the Camp Nou, and then and Koke scored in the second leg early on and they went through. They're actually the last team to deny Barcelona a spot in the semi-finals. In 8 years, they're the only team to have done so.
And we said it's 7 out of 7 for Barca on the head-to-heads. Prior to that, Barca did not win in 6 head-to-heads. So they've clearly managed to wrestle that back. That's just since the start of 2015 as well. That's how often these two sides do play. But Atleti's home form is superb. Only one side have gone there and won in the league this year. And that was Barcelona. That makes things difficult. So, Barca, who slipped up at Sociedad's, the La Liga title race is open again. That's not to say that they're going to take their eye off the ball here. But I think Atleti are going to win this game, to be honest. But we'll take them with a bit of insurance. Atleti draw no bet is 11-8. I'm not going to put them up to qualify as such. I'm going to take that out of it. But I just think Atleti draw no bet 11-8. Or if you're looking for something shorter, Atleti plus a goal. So Atleti not to lose this match is 8-13. And I think that's okay, to be honest. I can see Atleti just doing a job here. Atleti to win 1-0 is 17-2. That would put them through, of course.
I think that would be my bet in this game. Atleti to win 1-0. I think they could do a number on Barcelona.
Similarly, Atleti and unders, which is 1-0 or 2-0, is 5-1. So you're getting a bit more insurance there. But I'm going to go in the Atleti camp here, and I think they can turn this round.
Yeah, I do. I think they'll qualify at Atleti. I can't see the qualification market, which is weird. Oh, there it is. It's there. 3-1.
Okay.
Atletico Madrid.
Well,
to
I couldn't
qualify.
See that, and I just presumed that we hadn't got it yet, so I wasn't going to mention it.
Yeah,
I think that's
below the correct score market.
That's a big price.
That's a very big price.
And if I'm honest, Dave, that's probably going to be the pick. Mm. It's big enough. Drawing a bet 11-8 is, it does give you that bit of insurance, definitely.
Yeah.
But Atleti do have to win to go through, so if you're going to back them to win, you may as well back them to qualify.
Let's talk about the Europa League. Mm. One game involving an English club in the Europa League. It is, of course, Liverpool versus Borussia Dortmund. Liverpool 17-10 to win the match at Anfield on Thursday night. The draw 23-10. Borussia Dortmund in the betting at 8-5. Enhanced odds. Philippe Coutinho to score and Liverpool to win in 90 is 5-1. It was 19-5. And Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang to score and Borussia Dortmund to win was 11-4. It's now 4-1, which, given his scoring record, will appeal to a few. But you mentioned earlier on in the podcast about the big European nights historically and the atmosphere. And the atmosphere at Anfield will be bubbling. It'll be a fantastic atmosphere on Thursday night. And I'm looking forward to this match because Jurgen Klopp has got this team really playing now.
Yeah, a lot is made and a lot will be made of the atmosphere at Anfield. I think a lot of that on Thursday night is going to come down to the pocket of Dortmund fans in the corner. They will make more noise than the Liverpool fans put together. But you do get a sense on these night games at Anfield that something great can happen. I'm not saying the atmosphere is always buzzing, because sometimes it is a little bit flat. And it has been for some of the Europa League games so far this season. But this has the feel of a Champions League game, really, doesn't it? It's two sides who will see themselves as, hang on, we really shouldn't be in this competition. But we're making a decent fist of it and we're going to try and win it nevertheless. And it's two sides that will be trying. The Europa League is often looked down on, isn't it? Let's say by Manchester United, who obviously ended up here and kind of went, well, we're not actually that fussed, you know. These are two sides that do want to go on to win this, and it should be a really, really good game. I'm amazed that Liverpool got anything at Dortmund, and that could be the clincher here. But they managed to, and they've come back with a 1-1 draw, and it is absolutely tantalisingly poised, isn't it? Dortmund remain unbeaten in all competitions, though, in 2016. This is a big ask for them.
Is that right?
They've not lost a single game in 2016. They rallied well, I thought, in the first leg and could have gone on to win it. But Liverpool, fair play to them. You know, they stuck it out. I just think that away goal is going to be key here. And Liverpool defensively haven't been fantastic. Of course, they beat Stoke at the weekend. They rested quite a few players for that. And they were still impressive. But I think Stoke defensively were pretty poor. So I don't think you can read too much into that. But plenty of players got a rest into quite a few key players. I know Jordan Henderson's unavailable. He's injured. But it's priced up as though the traders are going, don't really know.
Yeah, I think that.
And
I think
I'm the same to a point, but I think Liverpool are going to do it.
So even money they are to qualify, 8-11 Dortmund.
Even money to qualify is the safe bet. Liverpool to win the match, 17-10, is probably big enough to back, I'd say, given for Liverpool to qualify. The only result that would not be Liverpool winning that match is either the 0-0 draw or the 1-1 and then extra time. So I'll take Liverpool to win 17-10. They've got plenty of players who are just peaking at the right time. Coutinho scoring plenty of goals at the minute. Origi's hit form. It's likely that he's going to start ahead of Sturridge, although he did come on against Stoke and did play well. Grabbed a couple of goals, didn't he? So I think Liverpool are going to do this. And that is hard for me to say because Dortmund are the better of these two sides at present. They are. But their big opportunity was to build up a lead in the first leg, and they didn't do that. And I think Liverpool will get the job done on Thursday evening.
Liverpool to win it, 17-10. The draw, 23-10. Borussia Dortmund, 8-5. You know what I think a big factor in that match is, just before we look at a couple of other matches, there's a real respect from some of the Dortmund players towards Jurgen Klopp. And before the first match, there were lots of interviews with some of the Dortmund players that he'd obviously tutored in his spell at Borussia Dortmund, and they were saying, this is just a privilege to play a Klopp-led side, and hopefully we can show him what we can. And maybe there's a bit too much respect for Jurgen Klopp.
I know what you mean, and it's very easy to get carried away with this and go, oh, it's all about Jurgen Klopp. It's not. He's got a side that he moulded playing a side that he is moulding, and he hasn't quite had a chance to fully transform this Liverpool squad into what he wants. There'll be players there that are, even players that are playing on Thursday, that know that their time at the club is probably limited, because you can't just go in and change everything. And let's not forget, he's not even had a pre-season to work with these players yet. But the things that he's implementing seem to be well received by players and fans. He seems a very likeable coach. He comes across very well in the media. And I can see why there would be plenty of respect for him. But I honestly think that Dortmund players, once they're out on that pitch, they're listening to Thomas Tuchel and not thinking about Jurgen Klopp.
Yeah.
That said, the Liverpool players will very much be thinking of Jurgen Klopp, and that can only be a positive for their chances on Thursday. I think at 17-10, they're worth a bet. Certainly not banker material, but should be an absolute cracker at Anfield.
Yeah, tough game to call that one. Let's move on and preview the two domestic games this midweek. We'll start with the Premier League match, Crystal Palace versus Everton, which is 8 p.m. on Wednesday. Crystal Palace 9-5 to win it. The draw 21-10. Everton 8-5. Enhanced odds: Yannick Bolasie to score and Crystal Palace to win is 6-1. It was 9-2. And Romelu Lukaku to score and Everton to win 7-2 was 13-5. Everton again disappointing at the weekend. Got a 1-1 draw away from home against Watford, whereas Crystal Palace, first win in the Premier League in 2016, beat Norwich City at home by 1-0. There are more and more people calling for Roberto Martinez's head now, Alex, and the nice guy act appears to be wearing thin.
To a point, yeah. I mentioned that we were on In Play together on Saturday and we watched this game live. We had others going on, and obviously being a Newcastle fan, my attention was slightly off Vicarage Road. From what I saw, Everton played okay. I did see banners being held up in the away end prior to the game saying Martinez out. It's surprising, I think, but it's one of those things that until you're an Everton fan, not that everyone's going to become one at any point in their life, but you can't fully understand the frustration, if you like, of seeing a group of players that are good enough to trouble most sides in this league consistently just mess up or chuck a result away. And it has mainly been at home. Their away form has been fantastic this season. They've lost twice at Arsenal and at Manchester United in the league. That's perfect away form, almost.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You can't really knock that. And I think that they will win here. Palace have been poor at home so far this season, and they did get that big, big result against Norwich. That does put them safe, pretty much. I don't think they'll be... certainly won't be nervous anymore. And it could be that the lack of nerves will make them come out and play beautiful, flowing football. They've got the players in the side, like Bolasie, Zaha, Puncheon, to create plenty of chances. But I don't think they win this. I am very, very strong on Everton here.
You know what? I'm very, very strong on Palace.
Right.
Yeah, there's a definite difference of opinion here.
I'll fight you then. Because I think Everton, it's going to be my most confident bet of the whole podcast.
Really?
Is the enhanced odds, Lukaku to score, Everton to win. 7-2 from 13-5. I think Everton will win this probably 2-0, I'll say. I'll even give you a correct score. There you are. Everton 2-0, 12-1.
Well, I think Palace, given they have their tails up following that win against Norwich at the weekend, and Everton, it was John Stones was guilty, I know, of overplaying at the back, wasn't he? Leading to that corner, which led to the Watford goal. I'd still play him. I'd still play him in the England national side, to be honest. But I think that might be one mistake too many for Stones this season, as far as if he thinks he's going to be incorporated into Roy Hodgson's starting lineup, that starting 11 in the Euros, that might be the die might be cast now.
Possibly. But I just think Everton have got enough away from home to cause teams problems. They've got a good bit of pace, a good bit of creativity. Everton have everything in place to do well. And the reason that they're not doing well so far is a combination of the players, Roberto Martinez, and their shoddy home form. But they're away here. Away from home, they've been flying. The draw at Watford was not the end of the world. And Palace, although they got up ahead of steam against Norwich, they still weren't massively convincing throughout. They had good spells.
They still lack that cutting edge, don't they, in terms of a team that you can think they're going to... They've got the ability to score 2, 3, 4 goals in a game. Yeah. This Palace side maybe haven't.
No, but Everton do on their day. And I think Everton will win this. So we're going to go Everton 2-0, Lukaku. If that happens, by the way, I'm having a permanent spot on that. But no, the best bet for me is Lukaku to score, Everton to win at 7-2.
We finish with the FA Cup replay. This game finally scheduled to take place on Wednesday night, 7 p.m. kickoff, West Ham versus Manchester United. West Ham 17-10 to win the game. The draw 21-10. Manchester United 17-10 to qualify. West Ham 10-11. Manchester United 10-11. And enhanced odds: Dimitri Payet to score and West Ham to win again in 90. 6-1 was fours. Anthony Martial to score and Manchester United to win 5-1. It was 19-5. Those are the two enhancements here with William Hill. This is a divisive fixture in my living room, Alex, because my dad's a West Ham fan. I'm loosely speaking a Manchester United fan, and I fancy West Ham to win the game. I mean, you look at what happened at the weekend. West Ham were slightly unfortunate only to get a point against Arsenal, drawing that game 3-3. Andy Carroll with that incredible hat-trick. Manchester United were slightly fortunate only to get beaten by 3 by Spurs in the end. Fell apart late on in that game after Timothy Fosu-Mensah was taken off and Matteo Darmian came on, and twice they were beaten down the left-hand side, once by Christian Eriksen, who whipped that ball in for Dele Alli's opener, and secondly by Danny Rose, who fired that ball in from the left-hand side and Eric Lamella got on the end of it. That was a big moment in that match, Fosu-Mensah having to go off injured. But again, Manchester United had only carved out one clear-cut opportunity and didn't take it through Anthony Martial. And then inexplicably, at half-time, Ashley Young was the Manchester United centre-forward. You think about the amount of money Manchester United have spent, and Ashley Young comes on as the number 9. Can't believe it.
Yeah, he's a funny one, isn't he, Van Gaal? I think the less about Ashley Young up front, the better. Bear in mind, this is a player who's also been played at left-back, right-back, in fact, anywhere but his natural midfield position so far this season. That was a very, very peculiar one. As you said, a very long time since the first game here. West Ham are unbeaten in 10 in the league now. And I know you might go, okay. And yes, they have drawn a fair few of those.
Home record's incredible as well, isn't it? We commented on that on the punt. I think it's 15 now at Upton Park without defeat.
It is. They lost the first home game of the season to Leicester and the second home game of the season to Bournemouth. Since then, they're unbeaten. I said, 10 games in the league. What I should have said is 10 games in all competitions that they're now unbeaten in. Of course, that factors in the first leg here. Now, that run includes Manchester United, obviously, Liverpool, Spurs, Chelsea and Arsenal. West Ham are flying at the minute. And then we were unlucky at the weekend. They played good football against a decent Arsenal side. I think that West Ham are going to do a job here on Manchester United, who, away from home in 2016, have won at Liverpool and Man City, yet lost at Sunderland and West Brom. They're a hard team to call. And then you'd think, OK, well, maybe they just turn up for the big games. No, because they got battered at Spurs at the weekend. And I know that they were in the game for a lot of that, but they collapsed, didn't they? It was a real collapse.
I've mentioned that moment, Fosu-Mensah going off, but it changed the complexion of the game entirely, because Matteo Darmian is clearly devoid of any confidence. And coming off the bench at that moment, knowing that Van Gaal didn't trust him to start the match, it was. I'm not saying it was his fault, but that's when they became disorganised and ragged at the back. And I'll be interested to see if Andy Carroll plays in this game and how that shakes up Daley Blind, because the last time he went up against a really physical striker, he handled Romelu Lukaku pretty well. So I presume Andy Carroll's going to start this match. You'd think he will.
You would think so, but again, can he play two games in however many days, 5 days? Possibly. You'd imagine he would start, and he was very, very good at the weekend. But he bullied two centre-backs at the weekend, and he can do the same here with Blind. Smalling, less so. And I know that you said that Blind coped with Lukaku well. Yes, but Lukaku doesn't bully you. He's just always there, and he'll bounce off you a few times. Carroll will stick a few elbows in his face.
Yeah.
He'll let him know he's there. He'll be completely physical with him, and provided he starts, he'll be a real thorn in Daley Blind's side. Failing that, he could happily peel off onto one of the fullbacks as well. As long as he avoids Chris Smalling, Carroll should have a whale of a time here. As for Fosu Mensah, you mentioned him, and it's very easy to watch. I must confess, I didn't watch the game live on Sunday. It's very easy to watch Match of the Day and go, look at it, he's going to be brilliant, that lad. But Football Manager 2019-20 season, he does get quite good. And he was very impressive, but you can't be relying on someone with that level of experience for Man U right now. I'm not going to say you can't win anything with kids, but Man U need some of the senior players to step up in a game like this, and they've got nothing else to play for this season. I know they could sneak into the Champions League, but the FA Cup has to be the focus of their attention. I think it will be. But I think West Ham are too good at the minute. And the fact that it's priced up exactly the same, isn't it? 17 to 10 apiece.
Yeah.
Similarly, 10 to 11 for both sides to qualify. I'd much rather be on the West Ham side of things. So the pick would be West Ham to qualify at 10 to 11. I would not be surprised at all. I think it's 10 to 1 for West Ham to win this in extra time. Would not be surprised at all if this goes the distance. So the draw, I think you'd have to have on your side, that incorporated in the West Ham to qualify price. But yeah, 10 to 11 for me for the Hammers.
One thing we've not mentioned, which is worth bearing in mind, Wayne Rooney is, I think, set to play for the under-21s.
Tonight. We're recording this on Monday.
Yeah. Yes. So if he plays tonight comes through, could he possibly feature on Wednesday?
Off the bench at most for 20 minutes.
You think so?
Not.
They are desperate, though, aren't they, Manchester United?
It doesn't matter. He won't risk him yet. I'd be very, very surprised. But again, he's the kind of player that could drag you through. But at the same time, how often have we seen Wayne Rooney, returning from injury, needs 4, 5, 6 games to get himself back into the swing of things? He's been missing for a while now. Whether he should be playing for England or not is another matter. But I don't think he'll figure on Wednesday night. I think the England striker that will figure, and I'm hoping will figure, is Andy Carroll. And I think he'll have a big say in the outcome of this. I think West Ham will get the job done.
23 to 10 to score any time. I think Manchester United are going to get killed down the left-hand side. If Fosu Mensah, that injury, if he can't play, and either Darmian, I think Darmian will have to come in and play at right back. And if they play Wan-Mata in that same position as well, which was almost like, he almost played right wing back, Wan-Mata. They are going to get pummeled down the left-hand side.
Well, you've got to think that West Ham have got Payet and Cresswell, who will be very direct, get a lot of crosses into the box for Andy Carroll. Carroll peeling off to the back post where Blint will be. Happy days, you would think. Down the other side, you've got Mikel Antonio, who will play in one of the roles, you'd imagine, either right-back or right-wing. Tompkins did struggle at right-back over the weekend. But again, will Manchester United push Martial out there? Tactically, it's a very interesting game. But I think that West Ham, if you'd almost take tactics out of the game, West Ham player for player at the minute, form-wise, are better than Manchester United. And that might be a bit upsetting for some Man United fans to hear, but I think it's true at the minute. West Ham are playing really, really good stuff. One thing, Dave, before we end this podcast.
Yeah.
Andy Carroll, Euros, yes or no?
My dad would say yes. He loves Andy Carroll. He gives you an option, doesn't it? It gives you an option. From the bench, they haven't got with anyone else.
You look at England strikers that are going to go, and a few of them are quite similar. Not identical, I will say that. There is a fairly good mix. But I think Andy Carroll will be invaluable to have coming off the bench in some games. I'm not saying he's fantastic. I don't think he's the best thing since sliced bread. But he does give you something. I think he should be considered if he's fit. I really do. Because he's just such a
Are we overreacting to one hat-trick at the weekend, though?
No, not at all. He's such a strange creature. And you saw him do well, it was in the Euros 4 years ago now, wasn't it? Where he really made an impression. Teams don't like marking players like him.
Yeah.
And I certainly think that as a opposition defender, who would you rather see coming on? Sturridge or Carroll? I'd rather mark Sturridge, put it that way. Mm. And that's not saying that Carroll should go instead of Sturridge. I'm not saying that for a second. I think it's actually quite a difficult job that Roy Hodgson has this time around, because he's got a pool with not one single star player, just a lot of 7 out of 10s, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So I do think he's got a very difficult job, but I just think Carroll should be in his mind if he isn't. So if you're listening, Roy, just have a look at him. He's a good player. All right.
Thank you, Mr. Dunn.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to the Punt podcast. Remember, you can download this via audioboom.com. Just type in William Hill, or you can catch us on iTunes as well. Just type in William Hill. You can subscribe to the podcast and get them delivered to your smartphone. Thank you to Alex again for his preview of the action midweek. Thank you to you for listening, and we'll speak again soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.